All right. Let's talk about hematopoiesis for a moment. Hematopoiesis occurs in the marrow of skull, vertebrae, pelvis, sternum, ribs, proximal epiphyses. What are the proximal epiphyses? What is an epiphysis? Is that like when you go, oh, I just realized something? What? Oh, what's that called? Oh, an epiphany. Oh, okay. So what's an epiphysis? So let's draw a bone for a moment. Let's see if you can see, if you can figure out what this bone is. It is a femur. And this up here is the head of a femur. It's not to scale or to proportion either. So the epiphysis is this kind of end plate part right here. So the proximal epiphysis is the epiphysis that is closer to the central part of your body. So this one down here that would sit right on top of the tibia, this would be the distal epiphysis. This would be the proximal. All right. And the important thing about all those places is that they contain bone marrow. Now, the production is regulated by colony stimulating factors, or CSFs for short. So erythropoietin is the colony stimulating factor in charge of red blood cells. Granulocyte, colony stimulating factor, is in charge of white blood cells. In particular, what kind of white blood cells? Granulocytes, and in particular, neutrophils. Now, do you think we have a drug that is artificial granulocyte colony stimulating factor? Yes, we do. And it's called Neupogen, which kind of makes sense, neutrophil generators, Neupogen. Don't ask me why it's a P. I guess because it's neutropenia gen. I don't know. I'm not the marketing genius who created the drug name or the drug. All right, two-stage process. Now, have you heard these two words before? Proliferation and differentiation. Yes. So what starts the process? What kind of cell starts the hematopoietic process? A pluripotent stem cell. All right. So it's a pluripotent stem cell. It is many potentials. And then it has to make a choice. It can become a lymphoid precursor, or it can become a myeloid precursor. From there, it has another choice. It can become an erythroblast, or it can become a white cell blast. I forget the name for that. So once it's decided that it's going to become an erythroblast, it'll then go through the process of becoming a red blood cell. Now, what is the very last step before a red cell becomes a red blood cell? What's that called? Okay, the last step, the last phase of the cell. What do we call that cell? What do we call an immature red blood cell? No, that's an immature neutrophil. Starts with an R. Reticulocytes. All right, so here we have just a couple of summary. So myeloid progenitor becomes a colony forming unit of granulocytes, erythrocytes, megakaryocytes, basophil, blah, blah, blah. You don't really need to memorize all this stuff. What you do need to know is erythropoietin stimulates red blood cells, and that granulocyte colony stimulating factor stimulates neutrophils, eosinophils, and basophils. The rest of them, you don't need to know. They're just for your own edification when you look back at this later in life and you go, wow, Dr. Heyman provided us with all that information. Amazing. All right, so we start for red blood cells. We start off with the stem cell, which leads to, the stem cell is going to get hit with erythropoietin. That's going to tell it to turn into a myeloid stem cell, which will become an erythroblast, which will become a normoblast, which will become a reticulocyte, which will become a red blood cell. Now, if we want to know whether your body has increased its red blood cell production, what would we test? Reticulocytes. So if you want to know whether the body is producing new red blood cells, you look at reticulocytes, because those are new red blood cells. So ordinarily, reticulocytes are about 1 to 2% in the blood. And if you like pictures instead of words, same thing with pictures. All right, hemoglobin. 90% of a red blood cell's weight is hemoglobin. So, I mean, it's just full of the stuff. They have no nucleus because it's all full of hemoglobin. Carries oxygen, and in the oxygen-carrying state, we call it oxyhemoglobin. Without the oxygen, we call it deoxyhemoglobin. Gosh, it sounds so... It makes sense. Now, hemoglobin is made up of four heme strands along with two globin molecules. So heme needs iron. Fe means iron. Fe means ferrous means iron-like or iron-containing. Ferrous means okay, good. So, iron plus protoporphyrin equals heme. You have four hemes connected to two globins, which are polypeptide chains. What is a polypeptide? What is a peptide? The bond between two amino acids. So a polypeptide is another way of saying a protein. Thank you. Go team. Whew. All right. You need to go back and review that chemistry, because anytime you hear the word peptide, you automatically think amino acid, protein. Peptide, amino acid, protein. Amino acid, peptide, protein. See how it works? Forwards, backwards. Okay, so if you like pictures, again, here's what it looks like. You've got four of these heme strands bound to globins. All right, in order for erythropoiesis to happen, we have four essential nutritional requirements. We need proteins, because that's what you make it with. The globin part is protein. We need iron, because heme requires iron. And then we have two other things, B12 and folic acid. And these are not incorporated into the molecule, but these are needed to make the molecule. So the protein is an important structural component for the plasma membrane. All right, so in order for your red blood cell to have the appropriate strength and flexibility and elasticity, it needs proteins, which come from amino acids. So what is the best source of proteins in your diet? Say again? What'd you say, Joe?
Flesh.
Okay, the best source is complete proteins, which are animal products. Meat, eggs, milk are all complete proteins. Can you get proteins from vegetables or from plant matter? Yes, you can. But what's the difficulty there?
You have to eat a lot more.
There's not as much, so you have to eat more. And what's the other problem? There's no complete protein that occurs in any one plant. So in order to get complete proteins from plants, you're going to have to combine multiple plants. So for a person who's vegan, they need to be careful that they're eating the appropriate balanced types of plants. So so that they get a complete protein. Now, when we mean complete protein, what do we mean? Or when we say complete protein, what do we mean? What are proteins made of? Amino acids. Who here has had nutrition? Okay, so you've all heard the term complete protein, huh? You know. All right, so how many amino acids are there? 22, 27. Well, you might want to look it up. I might make it a bonus question on your final, perhaps. So you might want to know the number of amino acids. Now, if a protein contains all of the amino acids, it's considered complete. If it only contains some of them, it's considered incomplete. All right, now, B12 comes primarily from animal products. Meat, shellfish, eggs, and milk. It's required for DNA synthesis, and it's required for erythrocyte maturation, and it facilitates folate metabolism. Now, your body also needs B12 for good neurological function. Patients who have B12 deficiencies will start to get neurological symptoms. What kind of symptoms might they get, do you think? All right, what do none of you feel right now? Okay, awake, okay. You're all dead. But was it a rough weekend?
Not for all of us.
Apparently not for all of us.
Just because some of us know how to pace ourselves. I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about. So. I don't know. Say again? About what deficiency? Beach. Oh.
She doesn't even ask some questions, and you can think about
it. It went on for, it was one of those commercials that went on for like 10 or 20 minutes. They had physicians on about B12 deficiencies and why you would feel tired and lazy and lethargic, and it's kind of a comment.
So it was a, what do they call those, infomercials?
Yeah.
Okay. So what you're not feeling right now is you're not feeling numbness and tingling, hopefully. Yes, what's the word for that?
Neuro something,
okay.
Neuralgia
is nerve pain.
I have it.
So what would it be called when you feel things that aren't really there? What's the root word for feel?
Oh, paresthesia,
thank you. So paresthesias are one of the signs this person might have. They might also have some confusion, difficulty putting thoughts together, etc. Now, in order to absorb B12, what do you need? Intrinsic fat. Well, when I'm pointing right at the word, it's a sign that you could just read the word and look smart. Or you could just sit there and go. All right, so intrinsic factor is secreted in the stomach and binds to the B12 and pulls it across the membrane. So without intrinsic factor, you can't absorb B12. And B12 is absorbed in the ileum, which is the very last part of the small intestine. Who said colon? Do this. All right. Now, B12 is stored in the liver, and you have about a 5-year store of this stuff in your liver. So somewhere between 3 to 5 years. So let's imagine for a moment that Arla is a 15-year-old rebellious girl who has decided that because her dad owns a farm, she's not going to eat meat anymore. And she's not going to drink milk, and she's not going to eat eggs. What would we call her? Besides loony. Vegan or strict vegetarian. All right, now, she's also not very good about her diet, so she doesn't eat a well-balanced diet, and she doesn't take any B12 supplements. How long is it going to take before she depletes her body of B12? 3 to 5 years. So when you have a test question where the patient's got a B12 deficiency anemia, and it says, how long has this person had this kind of diet? You're going to say somewhere between 3 and 5 years. Now, going back to that choose the best answer thing, if your answers were 1, 2, 6, and 10, which would be the right answer? Sorry. One, 2, 4, 6, and 10. What would be the right answer? 4, because it falls within 3 to 5. You would be amazed at how many people don't choose 4. Because, well, Dr. Heyman, you said 3 to 5, and 4 isn't 3 to 5. It's within 3 to 5, yes. All right, so, just so you know, that you won't actually have that particular question this time around. You're going to have it in Pathopharm 2. Oh. Well, I hope you're ready for it. That's the whole point of warning you. No, you're supposed to remember it for the rest of your life. Say it again. That was beautiful. What did she say? Say it for Nicole.
I said that's going to take a little bit of work.
And I said that's the most beautiful thing I've ever heard.